Those who gave.
We want to say thank you.
Whether you gave medications and supplies,
your money,
your chili cakes and pies,
your prayers,
your crafts, decorations, and jewelry,
your time and encouragement,
we thank you. Even though we were the ones who traveled,
you are just as much a part of our team.
We want you to know
that God used these gifts
to give healing,
to give food,
to give them love.
But most importantly, to give hope.
Eternal hope.
The hope of the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ.
To thousands of people in the Dominican Republic.
For everything you gave, we thank you.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Bon bienvenue. Merci.
God bless you and thank you.
Thank you for giving.
We look forward to sharing with you what God did in the Dominican Republic this year.
To be standing there and just have God there and know that I was standing right where He wanted me to be, doing exactly what He wanted me to do, it's really cool. And He's going to give me what I needed to do it.
What God did was so amazing. All the glory goes to Him.
This is why we come, to serve the Lord. And Eric Johnson said it right here 2 years ago. Last year we talked about it. We get to be the Lord's hands, His voice. We get to be His arms. We get to love some people today and hopefully see the love of Christ in us. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you in prayer, Lord. We just thank you for the grace, the mercy, and the precious, precious gift of salvation. Lord, I'd like to thank you today for an opportunity to serve you, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll put a love in our heart for these people. And Lord, I pray that they'll see Christ through us, Lord. And Lord, there'll be a different language, but Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just give us...
Today our group went to the... capital city of Santo Domingo. And one of the main purposes of going today was to pass out tracts and to minister in the city.
We'd go for about three blocks and then stop, and a couple of the men shared the gospel with the folks. We had the bagpipes playing, and that drew a crowd to us, just the novelty of it.
before you today, explaining after the prayer, sorry, I don't know which one it is, okay, you won't make a flip on the eye. But I stand before you now as a free and forgiven man.
God is offering His gift of salvation to each and every one of you.
Dios nos regala la salvación a cada uno de nosotros hoy.
So then the question is, what do you have to do?
Y la pregunta es, ¿qué tú necesitas hacer?
Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation.
Y la Biblia dice que hoy es el día de salvación.
A really cool part of the day was I was talking to these people and handing them some tracts. Got to talking to them and I could tell that they knew the Lord, and found out that they were missionaries from Argentina. They had just come from Haiti, and then they were now doing work in the Dominican and were getting ready to leave here shortly. So yeah, it's only day one and it's already been awesome and like made me realize how much I love this place.
Me and Miss Nikki were kind of ran into each other, and she pointed down one walkway that nobody had been down yet. So we walked down there and saw two guys on a bench. We handed them one. They took it gladly and spoke decent English and said, thank you. The guys we had handed to on the bench said, no, come on. We went to walk away and they said, no, come here. And so we came back and they took the tracts out of our hands and handed it to the men that were sitting there playing the game. And so we were like, okay, thank you. And so they followed us back about halfway up the walkway. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm pastor of a church here. So we are so glad for SCORE and what y'all do. Y'all open so many doors. Everywhere y'all go, we can come back and get people for Christ.
We had opportunity to share the gospel with lots of people, Dominicans, and I was asked to play my flute to help attract people to us so that we could share the gospel. Then we get in the streets and got very fearful, and for anybody who plays a wind instrument, you can't be anxious and fearful with shaking hands and trembling lips. It won't work. And to be loud in a big atmosphere, which is the point, I had to not be fearful. I got to experience God's strengthening grace, where it's just peace, where he tells you what you're supposed to do, and then he gives you the ability to do it. And for me, somebody who's just me, you know, not worthy to be used, and he does it anyway. It's overwhelming to be standing there and just have God there and know that I was standing right where he wanted me to be, doing exactly what he wanted me to do. It's really cool, and he's gonna give me what I needed to do it. There's nothing better. It's really cool.
Do you know what hopelessness looks like? It's easy for us as affluent Americans to see hopelessness in the conditions of destitute poverty. It's also very easy for us to forget that we see hopelessness every day here in America. It's just disguised by thousands of layers of materialism and self-sufficient pride. What we saw in the Dominican Republic, though, was raw hopelessness, physical and spiritual. In spite of man's best efforts and the progress of civilization around the world, there are still people who live in destitute poverty, living off refuse. But hopelessness is not just poor conditions that one cannot escape. Eternal hopelessness is a present and a future without God. When I realize this, I will not just look with pity on those living in deplorable conditions at a garbage dump. I will look at them and see myself. That's me. Without God, I am as they are, completely and utterly hopeless. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The message of that sacrificial, relentless, and totally undeserved love is what we had the privilege to give to the people we met in the Dominican Republic. With each member of our team performing a unique role, together we expressed love and care to the Dominicans as we gave food and medical care to them. But food will be consumed. Bodies will become sick again and die. Money will vanish. So above all else, We told them about God, who loved them so much that He sacrificed His Son in their place so that they could have life, so that they could have hope.
Come today to try to help you with medicine.
Hemos venido para tratar de ayudarles con sus problemas medicinales.
Most importantly, we hope to give you the love of Jesus Christ.
We just treated a 58-year-old woman with severe wounds on her left leg. Immediately when Dr. Bond came over, he was concerned that it was highly contagious and infectious. If we hadn't been here, I don't think she would have received treatment, and I think she probably would have ended up losing that leg and possibly even getting an infection that would have taken her life. Just to know that not only were we helping her physical needs, but we were able to show her the truth. And that's what she really, that was the most important thing that she needed. So that was really neat to be a part of that.
Yesterday, John and I were walking around behind the church here in the dump where we held the clinics. We saw this little boy walking around and he had open sores in his feet. Tried to find him and I couldn't. And then Tuesday morning came and went and I didn't see him. And we were out giving testimonies Tuesday afternoon. I saw him come walking up from the place where we saw him before. And I made sure that he got a ticket to get in and be seen. So right behind me here, behind this curtain, he's being treated this moment.
Get out my sea. ¿Quién da su vida? Por mí, él fue el camino para hallarte.
On Wednesday, we got up early in the morning and headed to a village to do another medical clinic. When we pulled up, you had little kids running towards the church and families coming. Well, there was this one girl named Pamelia that sat down in front of the church and watched us unpack. I went and picked her up and held her the entire day. At the end of the day, I went over to her and gave her a big hug and said, love you. And she turned around and said, love you back. And just being able to hear those words touched me so much. Just being able to show her that I love her for that little amount of time, just put the biggest smile on my face and something I will never forget.
And after I finished my meal, I noticed there's this little boy and he was just sitting in a chair just kicking his legs. And so I started asking everyone, who is this kid, you know, and no one knew who this kid was. So I went up to him and I asked him if he wanted some food. And I fed him, and then he just sat in my lap. And as he just sat in my lap, I could tell he was getting sleepy. And he ended up falling asleep in my lap. And his name was Angelo. He literally stayed with us the entire day at the clinic. I literally could not wait to get back the second day of clinic because that kid, like, I just wanted to see him and just get my hands on him again and really didn't know if I would. But really prayed that night that I would get a chance to see him again. So we drive into the dump area and we park the van. And I get off of the van and I hear, Americano, Americano, Americano. And he's just running as fast as he can and kicking his legs. I bent down to talk to him and he just wrapped his arms around my neck, and literally I could not let him go. Again, that day, Angelo was with us and just kind of played around, whether it be we blew up gloves so that he could have balloons to play with. We fed him again lunch. Not a day has gone by that I don't think about him. When the kids and I say our blessing, we pray for Angelo.
We're here at the dump at the children's school. The Lord allowed us to come in here today and give the gospel to these precious little kids.
There's two questions I'd like to ask you today. Hay dos preguntas que quiero hacerle hoy. Did you know for sure that you are going to be with God in heaven someday?
I guess there's about 55 kids, and they listened very well. I was able to give some hygiene packs to them and tell them about that free gift. But we told them about the greatest free gift of all, and that's salvation. They listened very good, and they said prayer. We don't know how many got saved. A lot of them raised their hands, but that's up to the Lord. We just pray now for the harvest that He works in their heart, and just praise the Lord for this opportunity that He showed us last year, and was able to come back and serve Him.
You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way.
We was able to give a tract to all these children in the village at the dump. We was able to give out, I think, about 85 Bibles. So it's approximately over 200 children we were able to tell about the greatest news of all.
You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
We went to this one village and had six different classes we were going to. And after the second classroom, the teacher, the principal, was going with us, and she said something to the interpreter. I asked her, what did she say? And she said, tell them that Mary cannot save you. Catholicism was really heavy in that area. So I thank the Lord for the opportunity to tell these precious children with just open freedom about the gospel of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Trust the Lord.
It's only a bag of food, not much to look at. It was bought, packed, carried, and given away by the hands and hearts of ordinary people. So what's so special about this bag of food? Well, nothing. Nothing, that is, until God chose to use it in an extraordinary way. Some may call it a coincidence, but honestly, it was nothing less than God bringing glory to His name through circumstances and willing servants using just a bag of food.
On our last day of ministry, we went to the Manual House, it's a school for very poor children. Didn't have a lot of resources for these children or their families, and we were led into these villages where these children live and was going to their specific houses. We went to this one house, and the mother wasn't home with the child, but the grandmother was. Her name was Raina. She invited us in her little tin shed, and we've been telling the people we had two free gifts for them. One would be for food, and the other one we'd like to tell about the free gift of salvation. For some reason or another, I asked the interpreter that day, asked Raina, was she a Christian? And she said she was. A very elderly, slim Dominican lady. And so my next thing I said, asked the interpreter to tell her, was just tell her that we got a free gift of food. As soon as he told her, she just hit the ground on her knees. It's like her legs had been taken out from under, and just a lot of emotions welled up in her. I wasn't quite sure what was going on, so I reached down and picked her up and helped her up. And then after she cleared her tears, she said that she was out of food and that she had prayed the Lord would send her some. As we left, I thought about the sovereignty of God. We moved this trip back a week from the year before, and the Lord knew we needed to be there at Rainer's house, one of his children, to answer a prayer that she had to give her some food. I just praise the Lord for an opportunity to meet Raina.
Who but Jesus loves the sinner? Who but Jesus calls him friend? Reaches out to touch the leper, bids the weary come to him. Who but Jesus loves the lowly, those the world has cast aside, and with such scandalous compassion makes a wretch his chosen bride.
I truly believe that these trips are not just an experience to have and then be remembered. It is about the one we go for, not the ones going. One person can't meet the needs of the entire world, but one person can get up in faith and follow their Savior to at least one place in another corner of their world to be used by God to make a difference they never imagined possible. As believers in Christ, saved by His perfect sacrifice, we are all called to be that person.
All that we might share his riches, who but Christ would give it all? Who but Jesus?
Are we planning on going back? The answer to that question lies in another. In light of what we have been given, and the burden of our commission, when will we be able to say that we have given enough? Even if all had heard, there was no hunger, no sickness or need of healing, if every person had been given the love and hope of Christ, even then we must still go, for we have been commanded to do so. There is hope yet to be given, that the world may know.